Looks like somebody prayed.
Amen. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, going from death to life. And how many guys remember, I'll take you back at the beginning of the year, around January, I believe it's the 21st, somewhere around there, we start to see this little white flaky thing coming out the sky. I don't know if you guys remember that, right? It just started coming down. I'm like, what is this? We're from South Louisiana. And all of a sudden, this snow just started coming and it started coming and it started coming. And before you know it, I had like a foot of snow in my backyard. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And there was no way I was about to go on the road because ain't none of us know how to drive down here in the snow. And so my little happy self stayed at my house and, you know, just watching the snow, watching the kids play in the snow. I didn't play too much because my hand freezes and stuff. It's a whole nother story. But nonetheless, after it was all said and done, whenever all the snow covered the ground, whenever it covered my truck and covered the house and everything else that it covered, we realized that we also had some landscaping that got covered and some plants, right? And maybe you feel my pain. And then after the snow began to melt and you're looking at your once beautiful plants and you're like, oh my goodness, like the snow has just killed all of my landscaping, right? And it looked like death. I'm like, I'm looking at a bunch of sticks. I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. I wanted a nice, healthy plant. You know, this does not look attractive at my house, you know. And so you're looking at these plants, and you're hoping that somehow, some way, man, these things are going to come back, you know, from looking like death to back to life. And lo and behold, spring comes around, thank you, Jesus, amen, and we start to see some leaves popping out on these trees, and then I can tell you that every single one of my plants made it through the snow, amen, isn't that incredible, and they went from looking like death to looking like life, and they look abundant, and they look flourishing, and they look amazing, and I'm just so grateful, you know, that our plants was once dead, and now they are alive. And I know it's one thing when we're talking about plants, and we can be excited about that, but how much more greater it is, we who were dead in our sins and in our trespasses are now brought to newness of life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. That should make you shout. That should make you dance. That should make you spin around, jump, dance, shout, clap, do whatever, because the Lord has been that good to us. Amen. And if you know what death is like, if you know what that lifestyle is like, not having life on the inside of you, and then all of a sudden you are made new and you have life, you know what it's like to come from death to life. And so we cannot have a resurrection Sunday without talking about the resurrection. And so I just want to read that story for you before I get into my main text this morning. And we're looking at Mark's account of the gospel, Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 8. And it says this, it says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying one to another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? So imagine, if you will, you have several ladies who are going to anoint the body of Jesus. So their goal is to be in the proximity of Jesus' body so that they could anoint him. But there was this obstacle that was going to prevent them from getting to Jesus, and that was this huge, gigantuous stone, an innate thing without life that would block them from getting to Jesus. And perhaps you kind of know what that's like. You know what it's like to have this wall, this dead thing in your life that prevents you from getting to the Lord. And so they, looking up, it says, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, so what they could not do on their own strength, God had provided an angel to do in his strength. Amen? That we cannot buy our salvation. We cannot be good enough to obtain the grace that God gives us. And so God does abundantly and above what he can do whenever we cannot do anything about it. And so it says, and looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was very large, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. I would be alarmed, too, you know, to see an angel. And many of the prophets, whenever they seen an angel of the Lord, they fell down on their faces in fear and dread. They're like, woe is me, I'm about to die. And so there's not like these little fluffy Charmin-looking angels that we always like to talk about. These are mighty warring angels. And whenever they seen this angel sitting at the tomb, they were alarmed. And he says to them, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. Amen. He has risen. You're looking for a man. You look and you're expecting him to be dead, but he ain't dead anymore. He ain't dead no more. Can I say it like that? From the south, he ain't dead no more. He ain't there no more. He's alive. He's well. He has risen. And you know, just a side note, it's amazing to me whenever I read this part of the story that Jesus entrusted this part, the greatest part of the gospel, to women. And they were to go and then tell his disciples about Jesus. And because women have, I mean, guys, I'm not going to put us down, but I mean, women tend to have a little bit more faith, and they tend to believe a little bit more than we do. But anyway, nonetheless, he says, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And so just to confirm that he was fully dead. Whenever they put him in that tomb, they had took that spear and they jabbed it in his side, and blood and water flowed, indicating that his heart was heavy. Whenever he died, he was thinking about us. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me, and his heart was heavy. He died, and they confirmed it through several witnesses that he was dead, and they placed him in a tomb. But now we're reading that he is no longer dead, but he is alive. He says, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Amazing that Jesus would single out Peter like this, because just before Peter denied him three times, he says, make sure you tell Peter that I'm alive and I'm well and I rose from the grave. He says, but go and tell his disciples and Peter that he has gone before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they had nothing more to say, for they were afraid. So we see this story. They're going to the tomb. They have no way to get to Jesus, but God provides a way. They go to the tomb, and Jesus is not there because he has resurrected. And because of his resurrection, because that he didn't stay in the grave, we can now celebrate this newness of life as well. We do not have to stay in the graves of our sin and our shame and our guilt and our past and all those things that used to define us. We too can walk out of those graves and experience newness of life. Amen. And so that's what we want to talk about for the rest of this sermon. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And this is where we're going to hang our hat at the rest of this morning. And so we're at verse 1 where it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. I can stop right there and say, yep, that was me. And perhaps you can say the same. That was me. I can raise all 10 fingers and both hands and both arms and say, without a shadow of a doubt, that was me. That was me. I was in my trespasses. I was in my sin. I was in rebellion towards God. That was me. That was you. He says, in which you once walked following the curse of this world. Because of our sins, there's also this curse, and this curse is upon all mankind. The Bible says that sin came into the world through one man, and that man was Adam. And because of his sin, death also came because of sin. So as a consequence, as a check, you know, if you work on a job, you get a check. Your paycheck is due to what you work for. But what you owe, I mean, what your reward is death for our sin, for our sinful nature. That's what the Bible says. In the book of Romans, it says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So can just we have an honest moment this morning and say, you know what? I have sinned. Can everybody raise their hand in this place and say, I have sinned? So yes, that's all of us, right? No one is exempt. Every single one of us has sinned. And because of this sin, death came because of sin. So if we continue reading, he says, those who are following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So Paul goes on to say that, look, not only we all have this sinful nature, but because it is sinful nature, we are children of wrath. In other words, that God is going to judge sin. And we're going to stand before a holy and perfect and righteous God and give an account of our lives, and he will judge sin. Well, you may be saying, well, I thought God was a God of love, and he is. And that's why we celebrate today, because he provided a way where you don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to remain dead in your sins and your trespasses. He provided a way, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. And he is our Lord. But I like the way it's worded right here, where it says, you were dead. In other words, that's something that took place in the past. That's something that defined you in the past, and that is no longer what defines you right now. You were dead in your trespasses, but now you are alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. You were dead, but now you are alive. What an awesome and incredible thing that the Lord has done. And this is all done, look at verse 4, these very two words, these first two words where it says, but God. And so what made this possible, we were dead in our trespasses, we were dead in our sins, but God. But God. In other words, it was God who made the way. It was God who sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. It was God who, by his Holy Spirit, he leads us to repentance and he draws us to himself. It's all the work of God. It is God who sustains us. It is God who sanctifies us. It is God who is committed to you making it to the end. It's all the work of God. But God, being rich in mercy, he gives us and he keeps us from that which we do deserve. And he gives us that which we do not deserve. That's his grace. He says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Look at the condition that he finds us in. It says that when we were dead in our trespasses, that's whenever God showed us his love. Not when you cleaned yourself up. How many times I heard that before? Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to church and start living for God. Once I clean things up, you know, once I get things in order, and then I'm gonna start living for the Lord. That is a terrible way of thinking. That way of thinking suggests that you have anything to do with your salvation. That way of thinking says that you can earn your way into heaven. That way of thinking says, I can do enough good things to outweigh the bad things that I've done in my life, and maybe the Lord will let me in. That's a terrible way to live, because if that was the case, then why would Jesus have to come and die on the cross? If it was up to you, if it was up to your good merit, if it was up to your good works, why would Jesus have to come and die? But because of God, but God intervened in our lives, but God says, man cannot save themselves, but I surely can. I can save them. That's what God says. He says, I love that Miss Tina quoted that verse from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on to say, for God did not come into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Paul continues in the book of Ephesians. He says, It's by grace. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, it's by grace. You have been saved. It's by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. What is grace? A free gift. It's a free gift. If I give my kids a free gift today, which I'm not, so don't expect it. But if I were to give them a free gift this today, it would not be something that they would have to earn. It is a free gift. And so whenever God gives us this free gift of grace, he's not saying, I need you to be good enough. I need you to be better. The work of the cross is final. The work of the cross is sufficient for your salvation. What Jesus did, not only dying a terrible death, not only, by the hands of the Romans, he was beaten, he was ridiculed, he was crucified, he was spit upon, he was mocked, and he did it for you. And what he did in coming back to life, he did it for you. And it is final, it is finished, it is enough for your salvation. He says, by grace you have been saved and raised up with him. So just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too are raised to a newness of life. I can say it is best to live for the Lord. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian for some time, you can say the same thing. I used to live for the world. I used to live for my own sinful desires. And let me tell you, it leaves you empty. It leaves you wanting more. It leaves you wanting. It leaves you in desperate situations. It leaves you lonely. It leaves you broken. But whenever you come to Christ, whenever you give your heart to him, it really is the best to live for the Lord. I've also heard people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get right whenever, I'm 99 years old. I'm about to turn 100, and I'm laying in my deathbed. And then I'm going to call out to Jesus right then and there. But until then, I'm just going to live the way I want to live. Well, my friend, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Things happen quick. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And why waste your whole entire life living like that when you can have newness of life today? You can have true joy in your life today. You can have true peace in your life today. You can have the shame and the guilt of your sins removed from your life and enjoy a life with God. And you can enjoy that starting today. It's so much better to live for the Lord. So looking at our scripture again, and he raised us up with him and is seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he alludes to the fact that one day we're going to experience this resurrection just as Jesus did. And that we're going to have this resurrected body, this glorified body that's going to be able to withstand, and it's going to be able to be within the presence of the living God. And we will live with God forever and ever and ever. And we will be his people, and he will be our God. It alludes to this. And so it's almost like past tense, where the work that Christ has done is applicable to our life. We have been raised to newness of life, and we will be raised again whenever Jesus comes back to the earth. For 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17 says this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. So those who have gone on to be with the Lord, whenever Christ comes back, those are going to be the ones that return first to be with the Lord. And those who are left remaining on the earth, whenever Christ comes back, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. This is exciting. This is hope. This is why we anticipate the resurrection. This is why we celebrate it, because we know the end game. We know that we will be with the Lord. We will be with our God. We will be resurrected with him. Then we who are alive, it says in verse 17, we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So yes, you might be going through some difficult times right now. And yes, you may be facing some adversities right now. But it won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. One day you will be with the Lord as a believer, as a Christian. And we hold on to this. And this is our hope. And the reason we have this hope is because of the resurrection. If he had stayed in the grave, if he had stayed dead, we would not have the hope that we have this morning. But because they went to the tomb and the angel says, he ain't here no more. He has risen from the grave. Because of the resurrection, we have this hope. We have this hope of coming from new death to life. Going back, and I just want to close this in the book of Ephesians. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So there are two things that are necessary to obtain this newness of life. This salvation is God's grace. He gives it to you. It's all God's work. He is the one who by his Holy Spirit convicts you and he draws you to repentance. And then the other thing is through faith. What is faith? Faith is hearing the word of God and believing the word of God. Believing what he said. Believing that he is the Son of God. Believing that he came to this earth, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that his sacrifice was enough to totally take away all of your sins, to make you whole, to make you the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord? Do you believe that this morning? That when Christ, when God now looks at you, instead of being a child of wrath, instead of being an object of a person who would receive the wrath of God, we will now experience eternal life with him. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's clapworthy. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that anyone may boast. You know, if we can work for it, we would be boasting about it. Hey, look what I did. I just saved myself. You know, look what I did. You know, look at me. But because of him, because it's the work of grace, we have no reason to boast. If we're going to boast in anything, we boast in the cross. We boast in the risen Lord. We boast in the fact that there is no one in that grave anymore. We boast in his resurrection. We boast in the risen Lord. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. He is still crafting us. He is still working on us. He is still making us more and more like Christ Jesus each and every day. You guys are a work in progress, and so am I. Amen. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Amen. So two things are vital this morning to obtain this newness of life that we're talking about. God's grace and faith. Grace and faith. Grace and faith. Grace and faith. Amen. For John 5:24 says this, truly, truly I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Amen? That's good news this morning. That's good news this morning. Come on. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection life. We thank you that we are no longer dead in our trespasses. We are no longer dead in our sins. Because of what you have done on the cross of Calvary, we have life, and we have life more abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we celebrate that today because he is risen. He is risen. He is no longer in that grave. He is no longer in that tomb. And we celebrate the risen Lord. We celebrate going from death to life because of Jesus Christ. But perhaps you're in this place today and you have not made Jesus your Lord and your Savior. You have not surrendered to his lordship. You have not surrendered your heart to him. Today, I would like to give you an opportunity to do so. We talked about we received this gift by the grace of God and by faith in Jesus. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe? The Bible also says that confession needs to be made. In Romans 10, chapter 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Confession needs to be made this morning. So I want you to get right with the Lord. I want you to not leave this place today with an uncertainty of your eternity. I want you to be assured. I want you to know that from this day forward, you are no longer a child of wrath, but a child of God. And if you don't know that this morning, we invite you to come. Come. Get right with the Lord. We're going to ask you, if that's you in this place, will you just stand to your feet? It doesn't matter if anybody's looking. It doesn't matter if it feels awkward. Do you know what Jesus did for you? That he hung there on the cross and he was publicly humiliated for your sin. He was beaten and broken. He died a death that was, you know, that was looked down upon, and he did it for you. Do not be ashamed of Jesus this morning. Do not be ashamed of him. If that's you, would you stand to your feet? We're going to give you we're going to count down for five. And then afterwards, we're going to pray. If that's you, don't let anything hold you back. Five. Jesus died for you. He loves you. God sent his son to die on the cross for you. Four. Don't let eternity slip by this day. Three. Get right with the Lord. Two, stand to your feet. One, we're going to make a declaration in the name of Jesus. We're going to declare that from this day forward, he is going to be my Lord and my Savior. And that's you. If you're standing to your feet, would you just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I surrender. I believe that you are the Son of the living God. I believe with all of my heart that you came and you died and you rose again for my sins so that I can be forgiven, so that I can be made whole. And today, I submit to you as my Lord, as my Savior. And I'm choosing to follow you from this day forward. From this day forward, I'm never looking back. The cross before me and the world is behind me. I'm never going back. I am yours, Lord. I belong to you. I don't belong to this world. I don't want to be dead in my trespasses anymore, but I want to be alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift up your hands. Declare, confess your sins before the Lord. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Make me whole this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And I break shame right now off of every person. I break it. I break shame. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer bound to the sins you used to be. A new person is rising up in the name of Jesus. You are free this morning. You are free this morning. You are free in Jesus' name. We thank you, O Lord, for what you have done in this place today. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of the cross. We thank you for the resurrection, that every single person who believes in you shall be saved. And as the saints of God, as the saints of the living God, we rejoice with our brothers and sisters who made that commitment this morning. And we are just so excited for what the Lord has done in Jesus' name. So would you put your hands together and give the Lord some praise in this place? Come on, give him some praise. This ain't a football game. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And we celebrate you. We celebrate the risen Lord, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And let God's people say amen and amen and amen.